Hosea 13. When Ephraim spoke with trembling, he exalted himself in Israel, but when he became guilty in Baal, he died. So again, it's the question of humility, that when he was humble, he was exalted. And this is the clear teaching of the New Testament and all the Bible, that humility is so important. Peter says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. But it was pride, really, that stopped Gomer repenting and that stopped Israel coming back to God. Now they sin more and more and have made themselves molten images of their silver, even idols according to their own understanding. So sin tends to be addictive. It is progressive. Gomer got more and more caught up in her prostitution and her idolatry, and so did Israel. This is a trouble with thinking that, oh, I can allow myself a bit of sin. The problem is it's addictive and it does not stay there. Therefore, they will be like the morning mist and like the dew that passes away early in the morning, like the chaff driven with the whirlwind out of the threshing floor, like smoke out of the chimney. So they lived that sort of life, going after the wind, wanting worthless things, and so they would become like that and just pass away. So tragic, when they could have lasted forever. Yet I am Yahweh your God from the land of Egypt. So again, God brings himself back to this idea that, look, I remember how I saved them, and I want to continue my purpose with them. Beside me, there is no Savior. You can hear Hosea saying that to Gomer. Look, apart from me, you've got nobody who really loves you like I do. I knew you in the wilderness and the land of great drought. According to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled and their heart was exalted. Therefore they have forgotten me. So the more Hosea gave Gomer of his silver and gold, even impoverishing himself by doing that, the more she turned away from him and frittered away his wealth with these fellows she was hanging out with and with the idols. We wonder why Christians aren't wealthy and why it's harder for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom. Well, you see, they were filled and their heart was exalted. Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Wealth leads to pride, and it leads to people going away from God. This is where this idea of the prosperity gospel, that God wants you to be really wealthy, is totally missing the repeated point of the Bible. Therefore, I will be like a lion to them. Oh, Assyria and Babylon are likened to lions, and God is saying he's going to work through them. Like a leopard, I will lurk by the path. I will meet them like a bear that is bereaved of her cubs and will tear the covering of their heart. God himself would do this to them in the hope that they would return. You are destroyed, Israel, because you are against me, against the one who is your help. Where is your king now, that he may save you and all your cities, and your judges of whom you said, give me a king and princes? I gave you a king in my anger and have taken him away in my wrath. So when they wanted a king, God gave them what they wanted. Just like they wanted a temple. God said, I don't want you to have a temple. But they wanted that, so okay, gave it to them. Like the father of the prodigal son, gave the son the money he wanted. And so you've got to be careful what you really desire, because you will, in essence, get it. So it's important then to have the right desires. And if above all you desire to be in the kingdom, as Paul says, all those who truly love his appearing will be accepted. The guilt of Ephraim is stored up, his sin is stored up. Again, God is quite often saying this in Hosea, that I remember all your sins. He doesn't just forget them, because he has the power of ultimate memory, of ultimate recall. And it's the same with Hosea. He remembered what Gomer had done to him. And yet, despite that, God is pushing forward to try to ultimately save them. I will ransom them from the power of Sheol. That's the Hebrew word for the grave. I will redeem them from death. Death, where are your plagues? Sheol or grave, where is your destruction? Change will be hidden from my eyes. So ultimately, God wants to save and resurrect his people. Though he is fruitful among his brothers, an east wind will come, the breath of Yahweh coming up from the wilderness. His spring will become dry and his fountain will be dried up. Samaria will bear her guilt, for she has rebelled against her God. They will fall by the sword, their infants will be dashed in pieces. So on one hand, God's saying, I'll save you from death. And then straight away he says, but you're so wicked, you're going to be judged. Again, you see reflected here these up and down feelings of God, that he has this great saving plan for them. And then he realizes their sin. As he says earlier, when I wanted to save you, then I found out your sin. So the book of Hosea is this amazing insight into how God feels, into how God thinks, into how he looks at sin and unfaithfulness, and how his love and desire to save is his abiding principle. And that is true in how he feels toward us.